94.9 The Fan is your home for Nashville Sounds Baseball, presented by Family Leisure and Social Cantina. Today, the Sounds open the season against the Norfolk Tides at 5:35 p.m. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. The Sounds open at home on Tuesday. Looking forward to being back out at the ballpark. Willie Dunick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on Outkick. Hi, Chad. How are you?
Doing well, guys.
Chad, your beloved Vols are looking to get back to the Elite Eight later today. How are you feeling about the Vols' chances tonight, and what must they do to knock off Iowa State?
Well, first off, I do want to say that, you know, as someone who grew up watching a lot of Tennessee basketball, you know, it felt like making the Sweet 16 would be the ultimate goal for a team as a Tennessee basketball fan. And the fact that Rick Barnes has made four in a row and is trying for a third straight Elite Eight is a level of good that I never expected. And it's been awesome to see under Rick Barnes. So I want to give the proper compliments and praise to Rick Barnes and where he has this program right now, back in another Sweet 16, which is a really incredible accomplishment. As far as this game goes, this gives me Houston of a year ago vibes, and I don't quite understand why. I think it's just the fact that I'm combining Iowa State's defensive pressure and how they force turnovers with Tennessee in their losses this year, guys, and you've seen it. They commit untimely turnovers. I really thought that was going to be the death of them against Virginia. In those final 7 or 8 minutes, it was missed free throws and it was turnovers. And I'm thinking, well, this would be a fitting and poetic way to end the season, because in every game Tennessee lost, it was missed free throws and it was turnovers. But they found a way. They made all the plays in the last 2 or 3 minutes they needed to, and they got back to the Sweet 16. Guys, it just feels like to me this is Iowa State's. This is their type of game. I know Tennessee's going to have an advantage down low. They should be able to get offensive rebounds. But even if Joshua Jefferson doesn't play, which, by the way, I think that's actually better for them, because if he plays, he's not going to be anywhere near 100%, and that could actually hurt them. But if he doesn't play, I still feel like Iowa State has an advantage in this one.
Chad, has there ever been a more audacious coaching trio than Lane Kiffin, Kim Mulkey, and Will Wade? And why does it seem like LSU gravitates towards these messy divorces?
So everybody's been trying to name this trio, and I don't know if you guys saw this, but someone online, I wish I could credit who it was, but someone online referred to this trio as Will Wade, Lane Kiffin, and Kim Mulkey, as in credit, an ode to C.S. Lewis, the Lion, spelled L-Y-I-N, the Witch, but replace the W with a B, and the Wardrobe.
I saw that.
So
it's
the
fabulous.
Lion, the B word, and the Wardrobe. And I'm thinking, man, creativity is not dead in America. That was fantastic. Whoever did that, I don't know if they had a writer's room to come up with that, but that was really well done. So I did love that. Look, they love the drama, but more than anything, more than drama, they love winning at LSU. And this is just a school that said, hey, Lane Kiffin's won everywhere. He's going to win his first national title with us. Why? Because Ed Orgeron and Les Miles won a national title with us. So Lane Kiffin certainly can. And I think the Will Wade deal, I don't like it. I mean, they fired a guy for cause and then brought him back. But I think if you really look behind it, we had Matt Muscana from Baton Rouge on our show today. And he said most of the people at LSU never wanted to fire him, that it was sort of a bargain and a deal cut with the NCAA because their football program was being investigated. So to not get the football program in major problems, they needed a pound of flesh, and that pound of flesh was Will Wade. So they fired him for that reason. But no one on the board, no one there at the time except Scott Woodward, who was there, who's now out, wanted him gone. So they said, hey, this guy won. We're going to back him financially. He's going to go get great players, and we're going to win again. So it's all about winning at LSU, and I guess the cynic and everybody could say it's all about winning everywhere. But that is certainly the case down there with the decisions they've made.
Chad, let's get back to your Vols. They're in the Sweet 16, but their star player hasn't played well, Nate Amen. Can they continue to be led by Jacoby Gillespie in order to and advance, or do Nate Amen needs to step up and start making some shots, or is he still sort of, you know, dealing with the injury?
Yeah, D-Mace, it feels like the law of averages always kind of wins out in these things. Gillespie's been fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been awesome. And I would say the same with Vanderbilt. Duke Miles was on fire, you know, leading into that game, and he couldn't do anything against Nebraska. Eventually, you kind of hit a wall, even the great players and great scorers, and they're going to need help from other great players in the team. Yes, I think Nate Aument has got to produce more than he did in those first two games. He didn't score a single point against Miami of Ohio. I think he played only 8 minutes in that game, clearly was favoring the leg. That's coming off of a really bad performance, 1-for-13 or whatever it was, against Vanderbilt in that SEC tournament. So they're going to need more from him, no doubt. But they really need everybody to step up. Crazy stat that I saw earlier this week. Bishop Boswell. When Bishop Boswell has 17 combined points, assists, rebounds, or steals, the number is 17. They are 17-0 as a team. So if they get anything from Bishop Boswell, and they got four threes from him against Virginia, that is an X factor for Tennessee. They don't expect much from him, but he needs to do something. Aiment's got to step up. I don't think you can expect Gillespie to be this hot in every game the way he was in the first two games. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to take a team effort. I thought Jalen Carey, for the first time in 3 months, did a little something against Virginia. They're going to need help from a number of people if they're going to advance, because I think this Iowa State team is pretty special.
Now, looking at the SEC, a year ago, it was touted as the best conference and it, you know, the toughest, and it was. And this year, it seemed to be evened out, but it still was a tough conference. How would you sum it up now, considering you only have two teams in the Sweet 16, and not many thought that UT would be this far? But you only have two teams going into, I believe, going into the Sweet 16. So how would you sum up their season if it ended at the Sweet 16?
Yeah, you know, Florida's the big disappointment, yes. Right? I mean, that's the one that everyone had marked down for a possible back-to-back national championship. So them going down in the second round was going to hurt the league no matter what. D-Mace, I think a year ago the SEC responded and confirmed what the committee thought of them with those 14 bids, with how well they did in the tournament. They got two in the Final Four. They won a national title, so it confirmed what they thought. This year the SEC, I think, got 11 teams in the end. And they're not doing as well. I don't think that their performance in this tournament confirms that they were necessarily the best conference in college basketball. Now, I think it's kind of dangerous to say, well, the SEC was overrated because, you know, Missouri lost or some other teams lost early in the tournament or teams didn't advance or teams got a bad matchup. You know, Alabama's got to play Michigan tonight. Alabama could win that game, but I could see them losing by 30 in that game as well. Tennessee's got a tough matchup. So, yeah, I think it's – certainly would say, based on the evidence of this tournament, not as good as a year ago. And I think getting 11 and not 14 in would tell you not good as a year ago. A year ago, the SEC backed it up. This year, they haven't.
Chad Withrow is with us. Vanderbilt now down two, shooting two free throws, a couple of consecutive plays involving Aubrey Galvin. She turned the ball over on the first. It looked like on the replay she got absolutely crushed on the play. It turned it into a fast break layup. Second play, she gets the call. Now she's shooting two at the line, 56.7 to go, trying to tie it up. She makes the first. Chad, let's talk baseball for a moment. Like, with all this great March Madness going on, you got the Predators, you got the NCAA tournament, men and women, you got all these great things going on. Why are Vanderbilt and Tennessee playing baseball this weekend? What kind of scheduling is that by the league?
I have no idea, Willie. I mean, what is going on in 2 weeks? You know, once we get past the Masters, like 3 weeks in May, of all the scheduling and all the things going on in college sports right now and opening day of Major League Baseball and everything else, the women's tournament that's happening that we're watching right now also, it's insane to think about doing that and putting these games this early in the season. I don't get it. Look, I think there's a chance for true growth. And we've seen over the last 5 to 10 years in college baseball. But if you really want true growth, you need exclusive windows where you are the main event. And in this state and in this city, this series could be the main event. It's not going to be the case when Tennessee's playing in a Sweet 16. You know, it's not going to be the case when people are betting and watching NCAA tournament games at night in the Sweet 16. So I think it's a huge miss by the SEC. I have no idea why these games are in March and not May or April. Or just later in the season once the tournament is over. But, yeah, I think it's a giant miss because this is a series now that people really care about. You know, it was all Vandy for a while. under Tim Corbin and Tony Vitello got Tennessee back on their feet in the series, and now we get to see Josh Elander for the first time in this rivalry. But no one's going to be watching because everyone's going to be watching the Sweet 16.
Yeah. So, Chad, we've now seen the heavyweights. I was impressed with Arizona last night. I just did not think they would have that easy in a time with Arkansas. But they did. I mean, they looked really, really good. Michigan and Duke, we know how good they are. Illinois, impressively, won fairly easy in Houston against Houston. So right now, if you had to pick the favorite to win it, who would you pick?
I think it's Duke because I love Cam Boozer so much. But, man, Arizona gave me something to think about in how they just handled how they handled Arkansas in that game. Also, Illinois and those big guys and their shooting ability. If they played great defense last night against Houston. If they can play defense anywhere close to that with the way they score and the way they shoot it, I think they're going to have a chance in this tournament. Willie, I think we've learned is, you know, having really good big guys is a good thing. When you look at these teams, Michigan as the number one seed, all these teams with these guys 7 foot and above that are really good big guys. Tennessee, a very big team that's still playing right now, mainly because they go get offensive rebounds the way they do. Purdue, we saw it on an offensive rebound tip in. They beat Texas last night. So, you know, it's kind of going back in time a little bit, but having those bigs is certainly beneficial for these teams.
Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow has been our guest on Tongue-Tied Central. Chad Withrow.
I'm watching the same game you guys are, so I know this is very distracting right now.
Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on OutKick has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. There you go. Chad, always a pleasure to chat. We'll catch up soon.
All right, guys. Thanks. Have a great weekend.
You as well. 615-737-1025. Notre Dame up 66-64, 22.9 seconds remaining in the fourth quarter. We'll see if Vanderbilt can tie the game or perhaps win it at the buzzer. 615-737-1025. We will look back at Sweet 16 action from last night coming up next. In the meantime, swing by T-Line at 106 Duluth Avenue in Nashville tomorrow for their annual crawfish boil starting at 2 p.m. $30 buckets with a complimentary drink, indoor and outdoor seating, plus curling and cold drinks. Also a great place to catch the basketball games. 102.5 The Game will be on site from 3 to 5 with great giveaways and prizes. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game.